We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Seven new draft picks for the Buffalo Bills, the NFL draft over the weekend. And joining us in studio now, the Bills Director of College Scouting, Calvin Fisher. Calvin, thank you very much for coming by. I can't believe you're still alert and awake after a long, long weekend of pulling names off the board.
Yes, it was a long weekend. Well worth it, though.
How did it feel, your first draft as the college scouting guy?
Oh, man, it was a great feeling. Just happy with all the picks and, you know, just that first guy getting Sammy Watkins just set the whole weekend off. You know, you just knew it was going to be a great draft.
Can you take us inside the draft room for a second, Calvin, and just let the process, how it would work? I know Doug Whaley was there, you know, at the center of the thing. Doug Marone is there, obviously some others. But what was your role in the draft room? What did you have to do?
We came together to talk about the picks, who we wanted. You know, and you try to, you stack your board and you look at the board and you look at the players who you want, you're interested in. So we're all together in the draft room and we're sitting together at the table and we're discussing like our next pick.
Was most of your work done prior to Thursday night when the draft started as far as stacking that board?
Everything was done. The board was ready. We went in, we had our top guys that we would want to take in the first round, our top guys we want to take in the second round, the third round. And at that point, now you just have to wait and see who gets drafted. And you look at your board and you look at how you have them stacked and you take the best player.
And you don't have to tell us which picks, but as teams made picks, were there any eye-openers for you or the Buffalo Bills who were like, whoa, we didn't have a grade like that on that?
I mean, because you grade the players for your team, not the other 31 teams. So, like, if a team, you know, Houston takes Clowney, hey, That's their pick, you know. Yeah. So you're ready for the next one. You're ready for your pick, and you don't worry about the other teams, like how their boards are stacked.
And one more question about the process. What goes on, say, Friday or Thursday night, Friday morning before rounds two or three, or Friday night, Saturday morning? Do you reset your board at that time?
You go in and you look at what's left, and then you stack the board again as far as your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, you know, sixth, seventh, whatever, guys. And that's stacked for the second and third round. And then when the third round is getting ready to happen, whatever's left from the stacking, you basically, you know, hey, let's count them up again, who first, second, third, fourth, or whatever. And that's the approach that you have.
We're in studio with Calvin Fisher, the Bills Director of College Scouting. Calvin, maybe the biggest splash of the draft, certainly the biggest move by the Bills, was the move up to number four overall on Thursday night, first round. Tell me about that move, and did you have, I mean, that's obviously Doug Whaley's move, but how much input did you have on that? What kind of discussion was going on in there?
I mean, to be honest with you, it's probably not much discussion for Sammy Watkins. I mean, everyone knew he was, you know, if not the best player in the draft, you know, the second best player in the draft. So it's one of the moves that, to be honest with you, you're like, wow, we got a chance. And that's what made it so exciting, because you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, we would love to have him, but, you know, is it a chance for us to get him? And when we got him, it was, you know, it was just electrifying to know that we got the best player in the draft.
When did you think you had a chance? When Jacksonville chose Bortles at number three? Is that when you thought, okay, we can move now?
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously the trade was made, but at that point, you felt good because, you know, everyone thought that he was going to go to Jacksonville.
You echoed a minute ago exactly what Nathaniel Hackett said to me in here on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. He said, we didn't just get the best receiver. We got the best player in the draft. Yeah. You had him number one on your board.
And it's funny, sometimes when you do the board, you know, you see that guy and you're saying, man, this is the best player in this whole draft. And for us to get him, I mean, that's exciting. You know, it's exciting.
Sammy Watkins is 20 years old. Tell me how that measures into your evaluation of him, both his upside and maybe what growth there is still to come for him.
I mean, the measurement is his play. But, you know, then when you say 20, you know, he's young. You still got some years in him. You know, it's not much wear and tear.
Right.
And then he's a very mature 20-year-old.
Yep.
You know, so you know he's going to pick things up. He knows how to handle his business.
As far as his game, what do you think will get better as he matures? I mean, he's not even 21 years old yet.
I mean, he'll probably get stronger, obviously, because he's going to get older. He's going to do some – I'm sure he'll do some different types of training now that he's in the NFL than he did in college. So that's going to help. He's a powerful guy already, so he's going to be that much more powerful and explosive – But, you know, he'll polish up his route running, you know, his game. He'll understand the game a lot better as he gets older as well.
You know, there was a lot of talk about how the Bills would have, might have been interested in a tall wide receiver. Sammy Watkins is 6 foot one, but when I watch him on tape, he plays like a tall receiver. He just goes up and gets it, right?
He gets the contested balls, and sometimes, you know, you can be 6'5 and not get the contested balls. This guy's 6'1 and 6 foot, 6 foot, 6'1 or whatever, but he definitely plays bigger than his size. And that's one thing you love about him. Even when he runs the ball, he runs the ball almost like a running back sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
when I watched him on tape, the thought that occurred to me, I watched him a little before the draft and a lot on Thursday night. He's sturdy. He's hard to bring down, kind of, you know?
Yeah, because he's a strong runner, but he's a smooth route runner, you know, and a strong runner after the catch, you know, and strong hands and very competitive.
We're in studio with Calvin Fisher, the Bills Director of College Scouting, going through the drafts. Let's talk about Friday. Cyrus Quanjo, you and your team believes that's a first-round talent that you got there in the second round.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, big, strong, athletic tackle. And then listen to his interview after the draft. He's ready to go, and he wants to prove to everyone. So that's a point that, you know, you look at and you say, man, this guy's going to bring something to the table that you didn't think he had, or, you know what I'm saying, because he's fired up now.
Yeah. Seems like he's fired up about the medical issue that came up really at the combine, and I was thinking that's a function of all that media at the combine needing something to talk about. Quanjo has, I guess, red flagged by some teams for his knees, but as Doug Whaley pointed out, he hasn't missed a game, hasn't missed a practice.
And that's what's amazing about it, is that he hasn't missed a game, he hasn't missed practice, and you know, at the combine he didn't work out well, but his pro days, he got better. He had two pro days, and every pro day he got better, you know. And that tells you something about the kid. You know, he went to the combine, didn't work out well, so he went and worked on everything he had to do to get better. Goes to his pro day, have a good pro day, goes back, work out, get everything better for the second pro day, and have another pro day that he's better at. So,
were you at those pro days?
No, I wasn't at the second pro day, but The guy is a worker, and, you know, he's a professional. And that's what I think is going to help, you know, transfer into this league.
You think he was upset that he didn't get drafted until the second round?
Oh, I think he was fired up.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to try to prove it to everyone every Sunday.
Yeah. Calvin, we didn't know much about Preston Brown, the linebacker from Louisville who came in the third round. What can you tell us about him, and what do you like about him?
I mean, big guy, you know, athletic, he can run. Thick guy, he can play, you know, the multiple positions for you, play on special teams. He brings a lot to the table as well. Smart player, you know, has some toughness. So, I mean, he's going to bring a lot to the table for us as well.
Does he look like an inside Mike-type
linebacker?
I mean,
when you see his size and you see him, you know, he looks like an inside. But when you watch him play, you know, his athleticism and speed, he can also probably play outside as well.
And then we get to Saturday. In the fourth round, you got the cornerback from Duke, Ross Cockrell, who just from listening to him on the phone on Saturday, you can tell this guy's got a great head on his shoulder.
Oh, yes. Very smart player. Good corner that probably can play, because he's so smart, can probably play safety, so he can possibly be a dual position guy like Preston Brown. And then, you know, he'll be able to play teams for you again. What I liked about him, I watched the A&M game, and he did a great job against Mike Evans, so, you know, you were excited about that.
He's described as long. You said how you would.
Yeah, he has good length, you know, for a corner, and he can run, and, you know, obviously he's smart.
Let's get to the next pick, the fifth round, Cyril Richardson, the offensive lineman from Baylor. And of the three offensive linemen you chose, this guy, I think, is one of the most intriguing prospects. If I'm not mistaken, he grew up in New Orleans, and his family had to relocate because of Katrina, right?
Correct. And he's a big, mauler guy that's strong and physical. And, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, like, all these linemen we brought in are just big guys.
Yeah,
so, awesome. I mean, but he, you know, we felt like we got a steal in the fifth round with him because he does have some talent, you know, upper round talent, you know, and he's a big guy that's a mauler. He didn't do well at the Senior Bowl, but he had a really good game at the Senior Bowl. He just didn't practice as well.
What do you think happens there?
I don't know. I don't know if he was, you know, if it was just trying to get used to everything that was going on, or, you know, meeting at nights. I mean, I don't know, but I know in a game he played a lot better. And if you watch him on tape, his college games, that's what you saw in a game at the Senior Bowl.
Does he look like a guard or a tackle?
No, he's a guard all the way.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a guard.
And is that a foot speed thing or a length thing with him?
No, it's just that's what he played in college. I don't recall him ever playing tackle. So he'll come in and be a guard.
In the seventh round, two picks, linebacker from Florida Atlantic, Randall Johnson, a small school guy. What can you tell us about him?
Florida Atlantic, I don't know if that's a small school. I mean, someone else has said something about that. I mean, it is Division I football, so a different conference and everything. But he's a powerful guy. I didn't see much of him on tape. I did watch his workout, and explosive, powerful guy, you know, pretty athletic. You know, I think he'll bring a lot to the table on special teams and give us some depth at linebacker.
Outside guy, 6'4", outside linebacker, would you think?
I would think he may even be a dual guy as well.
Okay.
You know, so we'll see.
And the final pick, an intriguing guy, Henderson, the offensive lineman from Miami, who many people believe he's got a world of talent, but he just had trouble staying out of his own way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we saw the talent. I mean, I'm sure everyone else saw the talent as well.
Yeah.
You know, just some things didn't work out for him. He fell to us with the seventh pick. I mean, you take a chance on a guy like this, you know, they got second, third round talent, and you're getting them in the seventh. So, you know, we just got to hope that everything else work out for him. You know,
you've talked to him, I guess, right?
Yes, I spoke to him before. I spoke to him at the Senior Bowl and at the combine.
What'd you think of him?
I thought he was ready to go when I talked to him. He definitely, you know, he knew what he had to do to make everything right. And at the Senior Bowl, he had a decent week of practice, and you know, he worked okay at the Senior Bowl, but you know, he understands what he have to do to stay in this league. So,
Kelvin, how hard is it as a part of your job to project not only how these guys will develop as players, but as people? I mean, I think of Henderson. You, obviously, the kid's had some issues during his career at Miami. And how hard is it to kind of look into the crystal ball and say, Henderson, we think, has a chance to straighten out and maybe be a pretty good player?
I think it's very hard. I mean, you know, you can sit down with him and you can talk to him and you can tell him and you can even give him the blueprint on how to be successful in this league because he has the talent to do it. You know, but at the end of the day, it's going to be up to him. You know, it's going to be up to him. And either you grow up and you make it or you don't and you fail.
How excited are you about the rookies who will be filtering into the building this week and will be on the field on Saturday here for the rookie mini camp?
I'm excited about these guys coming in and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see these guys come in and get going. So,
one more question. It's about the draft overall. I think there were 100 or so underclassmen who declared, and approximately 35 of them were not drafted.
Right.
What happens, you know, I guess they can sign as, you know, undrafted free agents, but what does that say about the process, and how do you think that will move forward into next year? Fewer underclassmen declaring, maybe?
Well, I think the process is right. I think with the grades these guys are getting coming out, some of these guys are getting grades where they probably shouldn't come out.
Right.
But it's their choice to come out and take that chance. And, you know, and if you don't get drafted and you don't get picked up as a free agent, it's going to be hard for you. But I think the underclassmen, they need to look at themselves and evaluate their situation and then make the decision. If it's right or wrong, just do it the right way. And I think some of these underclassmen, they're not doing it the right way. They're hearing from the outside.
Are they getting good advice?
I think some of them are getting good advice. I think some of them are, you know, it's easy for someone to tell you you're great and you listen to that
right.
And you believe you're great. But it's hard for someone to listen to someone and say, hey, you're not ready yet. So now you want to leave because they told you you're not ready yet. And yeah. I think that's where the younger players, these underclassmen, need to look in the mirror and say to themselves, am I ready yet? Someone just told me I'm not ready. Am I ready? Maybe go and look at your own video and evaluate yourself, and then maybe look at a guy that you know is going in the first round, and right. Look at his video and determine what is he doing different than me.
Hard for all of us to look at ourselves.
There's no question. Yeah. I mean, but you have to. I mean, you're making a lifelong career move.
Sure.
I mean, if you don't get drafted and you don't get picked up as a free agent, you, if football may be done for you, and you haven't prepared that, prepared yourself for football being done with you. So those type of guys, go and play your last year of college, and now you can prepare yourself. If I don't get drafted, if I don't get picked up as a free agent, prepare yourself for life after college football. You know, and yeah. I think that's my that's my biggest fear with the underclassmen is they're still young. You know, they're still young, and if it doesn't work out, you know, some of them it's hard to adjust to football being over. And just imagine, some of these guys had 2 years of college to play.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it that's the only thing that I just wish someone can give them better advice. If it's the college head coach or position coach or family member, and have these guys stay back, the ones that – you know, and you know which the ones that come out, you know which ones are like, you're saying to yourself, nah, you should have stayed in school.
Right.
But there's nothing you can do.
Right. Calvin, thanks. Congratulations on your first draft with the Bills. Thanks very much for this.
Thank you.
Calvin Fisher, the Buffalo Bills Director of College Scouting. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.